that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We say good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Jason, we'll ask you to open up in prayer if that's all right, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this broadcast. We ask that you guide and direct each and every one of us with the words that come out of our mouth and through a working of the Holy Spirit. We just pray, Father, for wisdom to come from your throne and to guide us and direct us in the direction we're to go. And we just lift up a special blessing across this land for your people and just pray that you bless your people and that you just pour out your blessings upon your chosen people, Father, and that you continue to guide us and direct us, and let this broadcast be a blessing to your people, and let it be a blow to Satan and his kingdom. We call for it to be done in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Well, we do welcome you, Remnant, to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. The Wranglers are here. The coffee's here. Thought about it this morning on the way down to the ranch. I invited Jesus to come have some coffee with us. You know, there's a country western song out that says something like, if I could have a beer with Jesus. You heard that, Kyle?
I've heard it, yeah.
And, you know, you get them. I don't think the pastor cared for those kind, you know, that. And the I found Jesus on the jailhouse floor and, you know, some of those. But if it gets the word of Jesus out in something less than a cuss word, I guess we ought to be happy about that today in the society that we're in. But the Bible does say we're two or more gathered in his name. We certainly, as Jason prayed, gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we welcome you here. Enjoy your coffee this morning with us. And we're going to do our best to enjoy our coffee with each other and with the Remnant. I guess we can have the phone lines open. We'll hit the button. And if we do have anybody that wants to call in, 307-745-5913. It was always a big hit in Branson when we'd gather together on Saturday morning with the men and have coffee with the pastor and the Wranglers there the last several years. And sometimes we'd have 50 or 60 men sitting around having coffee. And so we want to make sure that we open that up to you, the remnant. You're welcome to join in with us, pour you a cup, have your Bible. And if you want to call in and make a comment or ask a question or anything like that, then we'll be glad to take your call. And with that, we'll just go around the table. And if somebody's got something to open up with, I've got a couple verses in Matthew 25 I wanted to share with the people before the day the broadcast is over, but it can sure wait. So, how are things out there in the world? I know they are. I know we had the presidential debate right down in Denver, but it was blacked out here.
Yeah, presidential debate, and I mean, it's just, you know, you don't know what to believe. There's so much stuff going on out there. The comments that were kind of funny is, you know, after the presidential election, it's, you know, when President Obama has a bad speech, they come out of the woodwork to make excuses for why the speech was bad. And, you know, Al Gore came out right away afterwards and was saying that, well, it was because that, you know, it was the altitude affected Obama, and he'd only been in Denver for 2 hours before the election or the debate started, and that's why he was foggy and everything. Why not come out and just say he did a bad job instead of, you know, making excuses? Well, it was good, but, you know, and it was interesting.
I heard Romney owned him in it, basically. I heard that he hit all the key points, and Obama, since he didn't have his teleprompter, was but I didn't watch it. I haven't heard much, but I did hear that comment.
Yeah, I heard yesterday they were saying that well, Obama didn't want to come off as being an angry black man. I just about crashed when I heard that one on the radio. You know, Obama's been in Colorado more than Richard has.
Do what,
Jason? Obama's been in Colorado more than Richard has in the last month, you know? How many times has he been here?
Oh, so, yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah. Well, that is interesting. You bring that up, Jason.
The excuses that they come up with, and it's like, okay, you guys, come on. And some of the stuff that he was saying was just pathetic. And skewed, and you know, you can tell that guy's just a complete idiot without that teleprompter.
I heard one comment that he made some comment along the lines of the reason they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, and somehow that helped middle class families with their tax problems. And he had those two in the same sentence. And the question was, how does repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, you know, where you can be openly queer and gay and faggot, filthy, and, you know, all that, but how did that help middle class America with their tax problems? And you can tell, yeah, he just, things are misfiring if he can't read it on the teleprompter.
Yeah, it seems like that's his answer to it. No matter what the question is, his response to it is, well, we're trying to help the middle class. We've got to grow the middle class. And
yeah.
I think that he's, you know, if he can repeat, you know, he's got about 15 lines that he can repeat that are that mean the same thing, and if he can say those to any of the questions, then that's all people want to hear. I mean, you look at him, you know, these speeches that he's been going off on, you know, they've been slamming him. Obama says we don't believe anybody is entitled to success in this country, and he was saying that at this last speech that was, I believe it was last night in Virginia, and going off repeating it over and over, we don't believe anybody is entitled to success in this country. And, you know, what's that telling you right there? I mean, it's telling a story, and the story is he's a destroyer.
Absolutely.
You know, he doesn't want success. He wants destruction.
Well, look at what happened, or let me just ask, what happened to the middle class in Soviet Russia when communism took over?
Destroyed.
It was absolutely destroyed. I'm looking here on the pastor's bookshelf. I don't see it, but there's a book there. I think it's called Death by Hunger or Death by Starvation. And it tells about some of the small little countries firsthand accounts of this one small little agricultural country. I don't know if it was, I don't see it, but I believe that's what it's called, is death by hunger, or execution by hunger, maybe, something along those lines. And it tells about how that's just exactly what the communists did. They came in, and they first thing they did was they rounded up most of the men and just sent them off to the gulag. And then they just left the people with, they basically had to continue to farm to produce the milk, the eggs, the cheese, the row crops that they had put in before, but according to communism and the way the party said they had to do it, and it simply wouldn't work. And so when it wouldn't, they just took all the food from the people and basically starved them to death. And when one person would stand up with the one old gun that he had, well, the communists would say,
if he had one.
They'd send, you're right, if he had one. Well,
he traded it for food.
That's what I mean. If he still had one, then, 20 soldiers would come up and take him and his family off, and you'd just never hear from them again. And they did a very good job of destroying the middle class. They come against the elite also. They are the elite, but they come against the conflict, or the elite that is their competition.
Successful, yeah.
And that's exactly what they did there in coming against the Tsar of Russia and executing his family and overthrowing the government that was there.
Yeah, another thing I find comical is yesterday morning they released the numbers for unemployment, and oh, magically it just dropped down to below 8%. Hadn't been below 8% since Obama got in office, but
yeah,
since Romney made that
number
a key point, yeah. And then even if you look at the jobs, in new jobs claims or whatever, there's only like 144,000, but according to their numbers, 800 and some thousand were added. It's just,
yeah, see, there's
comical.
And the way I look at it is there was about, I think that I saw between 130 and 150,000 jobs that were added, and then they showed the same numbers, 850 to 900,000,
yeah,
jobs created. Well, sorry, the math don't work. And then,
yeah, and those are
always
part-time jobs too.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times, what it is, and the way they show those numbers, if it's been people that, you know, if it's people dependent on the state and the way they have it set up. But if in some places, if you're on unemployment for 6 months and then you don't have a job, you're taken off the unemployment list because you're not receiving any benefits. In some places, it's 2 years. If you're receiving benefits for 2 years and aren't looking for a job, this and that, they'll pull you off the list. Well, all those
some places it's 99 weeks.
List, it doesn't mean that they got a job. It means that they've been on unemployment so long that they are no longer considered active as far as unemployment goes. So they get moved off the list to make the numbers go down.
Yeah,
I love it how these judges all across the country are ruling that you don't have to have ID to vote, you know. You have to have ID to rent a stinking video or a post hole digger, but you don't have to have ID to vote.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Now they're saying that in California they're going to give driver's license to illegal aliens.
I met a family this week. And,
I'm going to go get one.
Yeah, there you go. I met a family this week that was moving out of California. A man, his wife, two daughters, and his son. And all the children were still in school. And I met him, struck up a conversation, and they were Calvary Church. That's where he went. I wasn't sure what that denomination was, but he said, we're Christian. Believe in Christ, Jesus Christ. Baptism, he said. So I felt a kindred spirit. But he said that very thing. He said California is just slipping down that slippery slope. And he said that they're doing that same thing. That's just what he said, John, that they're giving license to illegals. He said they come up and they have, he said, you cannot imagine. He said it's like most of the people there are on the government payroll or on some type of either their housing's paid for, they have vouchers for vehicles. They have vouchers for food. And he said, you drive around, and he was talking in out just the outskirts of L.A. And he said,
don't forget about the Obama phone. Everybody got to have Obama phone.
He said, it's like nobody's at work. He said, it's like they're just all hanging out.
Yeah.
He said he was getting out while he could.
Smart.
Kyle?
Yes, sir.
Stop just grinning. Join the conversation.
Well, I'll kind of take a not a different side because I agree with everything I said about Obama and all that. But I listened to Rush a little bit this week in my travels. And it's funny to me because, you know, I know nothing about Mitt Romney. You know, I mean, he might be a good, upstanding guy. I have no idea. I mean, he sounds pretty good when I hear him talk. But anyway, the thing of it about it, because, you know, Rush is, you know, hammering on the Democrats, hammering on Obama all the time, like he, you know, like he always does, you know, through the 25 years that he's been on the radio or whatever. But then I notice during his commercials, when he takes a break, he's in cahoots with these, like, ex-IRS men. And they, in this commercial, they tell everybody that if you haven't filed for years, you know, you don't want that knock on your door. You know, and you call this number and these guys will help you out. And, you know, and it just, I just started thinking, fear. It's all about fear. You know, I mean, I know the one party isn't as bad as the other party, but I know neither party's good. And they all want us in bondage. I mean, that, you know, no matter what they're saying, they're always going to put chains around your neck and make you, you know, go this way or that way, just like we're little hamsters or sheep. You know, I mean, they, you know, and they're leading us to slaughter, you know, both sides. And it's just like, you know, I know they have all these conservative listeners who don't, you know, are pretty moral people and they don't like what's happened to this country, but yet they keep them in this box, you know, and that is obey the government. No matter who the government is, you know, obey the government. Just constantly obey this God, this small G God. And it was just kind of sickening because, you know, all the people, all the Rush followers, which there's millions of them, you know, they're, oh yeah, you gotta file. You gotta pay, you know, you're just not an American if you don't do that. And it's just sickening because even though they have, you know, great points against the one side, you know, they're still keeping people in bondage. Yeah. You agree?
Yeah, good point.
In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 14 and 15, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same," talking about Christ, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And that's what that commercial did. I mean, I know if there's people out there that haven't filed or haven't been paying their taxes, it put a little fear, you know.
You don't want that knock at the door.
No, you don't want that knock at the door, you know. So call these ex-IRS guys, you know, who's only there to help you out, you know.
For a small fee.
Yeah, and they keep the people in bondage.
They're very good at what they do.
I mean, they put that on there, too, and there's no way that they could afford that kind of advertising if they weren't getting people calling.
Right.
They're getting a lot of people calling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because we know what that kind of advertising costs, don't we? Because it's outrageous. It's beyond outrageous. It's like the pastor when they told him he was too radical for radical radio. What
for
was that?
Extreme radio.
Extreme radio. Yeah, he was too extreme. You're just too extreme.
So what else is going on out there in the world?
I saw that.
I think it's pretty funny if you look into that Egyptian situation, you know. Obama sent our troops in there to basically remove Mubarak or whatever his name was, and then Muslim Brotherhood takes over, which is this Morsi, President Mohammed Morsi, and Morsi gets up in front of the United Nations and basically just warns the U.S. that you must not conflict and talk against the great prophet of Islam, Muhammad, even if it interferes with the American beliefs. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Well, that ties right in with the quote we gave from Obama last Saturday, where he said that, you know, the future,
yeah, I know,
the future must not include offending the prophet of Islam.
Yep. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck,
then it might, well, yeah. Better not say anything about duck season. But I guess it is duck season. It sounded like a war over here about a mile up behind my house. I guess there's some ponds over there, and it sounded like a war the last 2 days. Bam, 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 bam. And I guess that's what it is. It is literally, there's snow on the ground here. It's you know, mallard and drakes and woodies and duck season out there, and people are out there shooting like crazy.
Yeah, we got a pretty hard freeze last night, looked like.
Yeah. Well, we do have the phone lines open. It is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in and just see what's going on, or have a couple of comments. My coffee cup's empty. It's time for me to pour a little more coffee. Kyle, how are you doing over there?
Doing good. Having a good morning. It's, you know, I'm not saying that I'm ready for the 30 belows yet, but it feels good this morning. You know, waking up, having it be really cold. Coffee tastes a little better.
It does.
Don't have to really wonder today whether I need a sweatshirt or not. I kind of need one.
No doubt.
Just whether I put a vest over it or not is the question. But it's good morning. You know, feels good to be back in Wyoming after a week off, and kind of nice.
Got a picture on my phone from last year, December 5th, and it is 30 below. So
yeah,
it's coming.
It'll get there. Yeah.
It's probably coming. It is.
Everybody I talk to seems to say, boy, they're saying we're going to have a big winter this year. Of course, I don't know who they are, but the word's out that, you know, everybody thinks we're going to have a lot of snow and cold temperatures. So we'll see.
Yeah, but they say that every year.
I know.
I know. You know, every year, oh, it's a bad one. We're right. Ready for a bad one. We're about due for a bad one. It's
yep.
going to be cold, and they talk about the flies and the
yeah.
air on the
Oh, yeah, I heard the, I heard that all about the bugs last year. Remember our neighbor up the road was saying, man, whenever the insects and the bugs are out like this, you know, we're going to have a mean winter.
And it was one of the mildest winters we'd had in years. So.
Yeah, and they say, well, El Nino must have blown it over, you know.
Yeah, but every year is going to be, it's going to be a doozy. We're going to have it. So, yeah, I know.
You know, it's kind of...
I mean, I think, I believe we are due for one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it could be this year, but it could not be, too. I mean, there's, you know...
You just have to be ready.
I tell you what, we need some snow in the mountains or we're going to be in trouble water-wise down here.
We do. Let's go to the phone lines. Phone's ringing this morning. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Good morning, man. This is Tom in Montana. Say, I was watching that, all the debate coverage. I didn't watch the debate coverage either, but it was sure not hard to see who the adult was and who the child, man-child who'd never been spanked before was. And the comments afterward brought to mind 1 Kings 18:27 through about 30, where Elijah was mocking the Baal priests, and oh, they cut themselves and carried on and tried to whoop up the mojo back into their Baal god. That's what it reminded me of.
Good point.
I just thought that was what it brought to mind to me.
That's interesting. What's your not to change the subject, Tom, but how's your foot doing?
Oh, real great.
Okay.
It's doing good. A little sore, but it looks good and it's going to be healed. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
And thank you guys for being concerned over it.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Yep. Praise Jesus.
Amen. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, we'll see you.
All right, sir. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes,
sir. Hello, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Richard. I'm just a nobody from nowhere, but there's some insight into this situation that I might be able to offer. I see a lot of attention being given to Muslim versus Christian, all this type of action. It seems that the real fight is the Luciferians against the theocrats. I mean, we all want, you know, a kingdom coming down, but whose kingdom will it be? It seems that they're using the most foolish and easily manipulated ones of us to achieve a goal of creating hostility and animosity against a theocracy and trying to provide some type of French-style revolution rather than a revival of Jesus Christ and his laws, which is what they really fear. I so appreciate hearing that good men like you still exist, and I thank you so much for the work you do. And nobody I've heard in many years has brought a better communion message than you, Mr. Richard. You you fill some shoes that stomp on snakes for certain. You have a blessed day, and thank you for your time.
Well, thanks for the call. We'll certainly put out. God gets all the glory, and there's a pair of boots that used to stand behind that church pulpit that...
What was his first name?
Even I didn't get his name.
Oh, I agree with what he had to say. I mean, they do. They try to work people up, you know, and all in the wrong direction. You know, they try to make it sound right,
right.
You know, but they get them worked up into a frenzy.
And so right now, they talk about this Christian-Muslim war that's coming. The Christians and the Muslims. Muslims wanting to take over. And so when there's two people fighting or two groups, what's usually in the background?
That third party.
And don't think that the Antichrists, the hook-nosed, kinky-haired ones that wrote the protocols that give you their plan of destroying the Christians, they don't care who destroys them.
Yeah.
They just assume the Muslims try to destroy them as anybody.
Yeah.
And so don't forget that, Christians. Don't forget that, people, that there is always that unseen third party.
Have you ever noticed that, you know, there'll be two people running for the same office, and they will be hammering on each other. I mean, with hateful comments, slander like you can't believe. I mean, totally lying, and they'll get the people that follow each one of them hating each other.
Yeah.
Well, then when it's all said and done, all of a sudden they'll team up. You know,
one wins.
I'm for him now
because
you know, now that I can see I lost, I'm for him. But yet the people that followed him, they still hate each other.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's so bizarre. You know,
but, cheap. Bah. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing this morning? This is Willis in Southern Illinois.
We're doing fine. Willis, how are you, sir?
I'm not doing too bad this morning. Just enjoying some coffee, listening to the radio. Appreciate the effort you guys are putting forth. And I just had a quick comment that you guys were talking about Tsarist Russia and everything that went on there with the destruction of the middle class and millions of Christians that were actually killed during that overthrow by the Bolsheviks. But you know, there's a lot of similarities between the Tsar and Abraham Lincoln, and the fact that they both had a son that was sickly, and the Tsar's wife actually sought after that seer, fortune teller, astrologist Rasputin. And you know, the Tsar basically turned his back on that, let her do whatever she wanted to. And it's amazing how much that the similarity that between Lincoln and the Tsar let their wives sort of control things, and they turned their back and just let them do whatever they wanted to, and the result was the destruction of Russia.
It was. Great was their fall.
And also the beginning of the destruction of the United States.
Well, that's an interesting comment, Willis. Didn't know about that.
Well, it was I read a little bit about it here in the last few years, but it was just kind of amazing the similarities between the two. You know, the fact that both wives sought after somebody other than Jesus Christ for the healing of their son, and the result was the destruction of an entire nation.
Wow.
And I think a lot of it, too, was all the greed that was going on. You know, you look at that czar, you know, she did do that, but also that whole czar was just, they were greedy. You look at the wealth that they had and the poverty that not just the middle class, but the majority of the rest of the people were in during that time.
Yeah.
Just heavily, heavily taxed and tax increased, and, you know, they had, just basically wealth beyond measure at that point in time, and you know, people were starving.
Yep, that's the point.
You know, so and you can really see, you know, they got what was, you know, they got what was due to them because, you know, people were starving left and right all over the place.
Yep, and everybody talks about the Holocaust, but nobody talks about the 20 or 30 million Christians that were wiped out.
Right.
Before and after, you know. Also, I was wondering, is there going to be a rebroadcast of Jason's show last night and the McCanny Science Hour? I fell asleep before I was able to listen to both of them thoroughly. I was just wondering.
Was that boring, huh?
It was going to be a rebroadcast. Pardon?
It was that boring.
No, it wasn't that boring. I was trying to stay awake, but I usually start my day about 4 o'clock in the morning, and about 8:45 last night, I was wiped out.
Yeah, I hear you. I off the top of my head, I don't know when the rebroadcasts are.
Well, if you guys think of it, maybe you might make a mention of it on the show, and
I'll
appreciate being
see what
here
I
again.
Find it here.
Well, Willis, we appreciate it, and glad. I know we talked this week. Glad to have you back home and working and all that good stuff. So, again, we appreciate everything that you and the remnant out there do, and appreciate the call in this morning.
You guys have a great day. I enjoy the show.
All right.
Thank you very much for standing in.
You can go, if you have access to the Internet, you can go to sfawbn.com. That's our network site, and the complete broadcast schedule is there. I'm just kind of looking there. I know the McKinney Science Hour played about 3 a.m. Central this morning. It replayed, and Jason will have to look and see when it replays. I'm not sure when it does, but he's kind of the schedule guy. But we'll see if we can find it and put it out. But they're also they're always there at the site, so you can always go there and listen to them as well. Thanks a lot, Willis. Have a great weekend.
I'm going to. You guys do the same. All right. Goodbye.
Hey, Richard, can you turn up the callers because I can't hear them?
Yeah, we'll see what we can do here. Tweak a little buttons and start getting the feedback. Let me know, but we'll see what we can do with that.
Well, our friends from Freedom From Religion Foundation were at it again. Apparently, the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania voted to call 2012 the Year of the Bible. Huh, where have we heard that before? Public Law 97-280 in 1983. Anyways, they lost. Although the judge ruled that he couldn't rule against what the Congress did. Not that he wouldn't have if he could have. So the Freedom From Religion Foundation feels like they won, and the House feels like they won too, so imagine that. A little bit of lukewarm going on there. I had an opportunity this week to call into a local radio station. They were talking about Freedom From Religion Foundation here in Pueblo, Colorado. They were told to that they couldn't use prayer in their opening ceremonies, and so they backed down without even a fight, just a letter, and said, okay, well, we'll just have a moment of silence. Well, I called up and I said, well, regarding that Freedom from Religion Foundation, you know, all they are is a bunch of lawyers that go around try to remove God from anything and everything they can. I said, I pray for them. I pray God gives them what they want. Gives them freedom from religion in hell. Click. Didn't get a chance to talk about that one.
Did you listen to see if your whole message got out over the air?
I tried to, but yeah. I don't know if I did or not. I'm sure with the delay, they probably cut that last part.
Yeah, they could have, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll put it out where the people hear that freedom from religion, I pray for them. And then that's
yeah.
it, you know. And
you know, I remember hearing Pastor talk about calling a radio show a time or two, and you know, and he said, you know, really when it gets down to it, it takes so little to make people think and to make, you know, maybe to make.
Yeah, I just heard that tape too.
Yeah, isn't that something? You know, I mean, it really does. It takes so little, you know, because you know, you draw an eye unto God, He'll draw an eye unto you, and that's just how it works, you know.
It
but you seem to get into a funk where you think there's nothing we can do, you know, but really it takes so little.
Yep.
I think that's one of the reasons that the enemy puts so much more and so many other things before our eyes, so that we have no time to draw near unto God. And then they put that lie out that God loves everybody and there's nothing you can do, brother. So eat, drink, be merry, live your life. Curse God, don't worry about it, because it all comes out in the wash, and everybody ends up in heaven with you, brother, and everything else. So we'll try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Tim from Nebraska. I was just listening to John's comment there on Pueblo, and I was reading the other day, they were talking about unemployment in the nation, and one of the top cities for unemployment in the nation in Colorado is Pueblo. So maybe I put out there that they kind of were getting a little bit of their antichrist back, their attitude. So
good point.
Amen. Yeah.
As you sow, so shall you reap.
Yep. Yeah. When you don't ask for prosperity from the right point, you might get cursings instead of blessings. So, anyways, I thought that kind of fit in with what he was talking about.
Yeah, that fit in real good, I think.
Yeah.
So, I was a little surprised out of Colorado that they would have been, they listed the top city for unemployment in every state, and Pueblo was there. So I thought it was significant it fit in with what you were talking about their meeting. Anyways, you guys are doing a great job. Have a good morning. I'm enjoying listening.
Thanks, Tim. You too. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
It was good to hear from Tim. Well,
here's a little encouraging news. The NRA, National Rifle Association, is thanking Barack Obama for a successful stimulus plan. I like that.
You know, I was in a local store here, and the salesperson was telling me that they can't keep ammo in stock again. And, you know, I looked at him and said, yeah, because the election coming up. And it's usually about
like that.
But you
didn't see nothing.
You're right. But I remember it was like that even at the last election, and the election before that, and the election before that. Like was said earlier, it's always that way. So... yeah, let your Bible and your ammo be like that American Express card. Don't leave home without it.
Yep. I want to bring what you need to use that ammo too, though.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But keep your Bible open and your ammo dry, that's for sure. Well, I want to encourage you people. We don't have time to read all of this, but I did want to put out in Matthew 25. It talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. Then it talks about the parable of the talents. And then he talks about the judgment. And again, looking at the clock and probably have the phones ringing again. We don't have time to read all this, but I would encourage you people out there to read Matthew 25. It talks about the judgment from verse 31 to the end of the chapter, verse 46. And basically, it starts out, says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another. Praise the Lord." I'll be glad when this nation gets separated out once again. "And as Amen. The shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left." And if you read on through, the king talks about, you know, those that have fed the hungry and gave him something to eat and gave him something to drink when he was thirsty, and when he was a stranger they invited him in, and when he was naked they clothed him, and things like that. And I think that the modern day church world misses so much of that. Certainly we are to have charity, care for our brother. But from 41 on down, he talks about that, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And he goes on and says, "'Cause I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was a prisoner, you didn't visit me.'" And the church takes so much of this so literal. I picked up a pamphlet on the way over this morning. This pamphlet pastor put out, probably one of the most controversial ones. And it's called "Intolerance of, Discrimination Against, and the Death Penalty for Homosexuals is Prescribed in the Bible." And this verse came to mind because I think that the application here is, in verse 45, he finishes up and says, "Then he will answer to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And the thought just occurred to me that we still have that obligation, one, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the death penalty for homosexuals is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Saw a note on TV, a note about that now TV, there are more gay and lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual people, actors, characters on TV shows now than there's ever been. And I think it's just a reflection of that there's just more sin in the nation and in God's people than there's ever been. And the homosexual...
California made it illegal to counsel a child, yes, or youth that was maybe leaning towards homosexuality, which they've had a lot of success in converting them with through biblical teachings, and
right,
and they just made it illegal now to counsel a child or a youth from turning from any homosexual tendencies. So,
well, I just want to put that out there, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, that there is a judgment coming.
Amen.
And it I don't think that God's going to throw you out if you never gave a $20 bill to the bum on the street. That's not what he's talking about here. That may apply in some instances, but I think the general principle here is that you need to let the people know what is right and what is wrong, and what will get them into the kingdom and what will keep them out of the kingdom. And that homosexual lifestyle, there's nothing gay about it. There's nothing happy and friendly about it. To quote Ken Anderson, there's nothing happy about a happy meal. And there's nothing gay or friendly about these filthy faggots, be them male or female. And they will go, as it says here, into eternal punishment. And so, if you know of someone, we'd be glad to send you this book. It goes through Bible verse after Bible verse and shows exactly what the Bible talks about, that filthy faggot lifestyle, and the penalty, that the penalty is there. Well, let's go to the phone lines before we run out of time. Thanks for holding, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, you were talking about the Freedom from Religion Foundation, and a couple of years ago I actually wrote to them, and I wish we could be free of this religion of Judaism. You know, that when the United States supports that little admittedly Jewish state over there in Israel, Palestine really, that is actually supporting a religious institution that Jews living in America can go visit and live there. So we're supporting religion all the time, and we're supporting that little Israel. So I wish they would free us from the support for that Jewish religion in Israel. And do you think I got a reply?
No.
That's an idea I wish people would circulate. Let's free ourselves from Judaism and from Israel, which is a Jewish state. You know, and a Jew living in New York, he can go there and live and holiday there and everything. And so there's an idea for you. This is my voice. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Where are you calling in from this morning? Oh, guess we lost him. Lost his voice there, so.
Yeah, I saw the other day Congress, you know, has the power of the purse, supposedly, whatever, blocked $450 million that Obama was trying to send to Egypt to Morsi or whatever, the Muslim Brotherhood president, and Obama just overruled it, you know, with one of his 934 executive orders.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, you can hardly tell that you answered the phone. Yeah, this is Kevin in Ohio. God bless you, man. It's really nice to hear you in the mornings and Saturday mornings. We want to drink tea, not coffee. Last night, on the broadcast with Jason, they were talking about the milk war. I haven't been a drinker of raw milk for so many years, I forget. And I had written to the pastor one time, and I mentioned to him, do you know the three ethnic peoples that are lactose intolerant? And it happens to be Asians, blacks, and do you, any of you know what the third race of people is that's lactose intolerant?
I would guess along the line of, Ashkenazi.
That's correct. That's correct. So, what would be the war against milk? My take is on it, when God promised the land of milk and honey, well, somebody has to know that they're not acceptable to milk, and, you know, it's something that they have to eliminate. So,
they want to destroy something that God gave to his people.
To his people, yes.
Yep.
There you go, Jason.
Amen.
Yeah, to his people.
Because that's what
so
they
what
are destroying, and they know that it's something that it's perfect food for us.
That's correct. And they want to wipe it out to show that, you know, they're their people. You know, they're his people. I just think it's unusual thing that they go after milk, of all things. God bless you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Why don't you explain to everybody what Ashkenazi is?
Oh, that's who the true false Jews are, I would think. You know, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 talks about, woe to you who say you are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And it's not that we claim to be Jews. We're not. We're certainly not. But I'd encourage you to order, if that term, Jew, if you don't understand what it is, if you don't understand what the Bible talks about, Pastor did one of the most informative sermons, messages, teachings, I think, that there's ever been out. And it's called The Most Confusing Word in Scripture, Jew. I don't have the number, I don't have my catalog out in front of me here, but if you would like that message on CD, we'd be glad to send it to you, because in it he explains the difference, how in the new, how, you know, when the Bible first started using the term Jew, I think it's like in what, First or Second Kings, how that there has been a case of mistaken identity, and how Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 applies. You know, 100 years ago, or say 200 years ago, when you, well, Texas wasn't there, but 100 years ago, when you said you were a Texan, a certain thing came to mind, you know, a certain race of people, a certain type of people. Now a Texan, you just never know what that means. And that is similar to how that term Jew is. And so those that claim to be Jews, I believe mainly are from the Ashkenazi, came from the what is that, the southern steppes of parts of Russia, and came into the old promised land when
the worst of the nations,
Gentiles, yeah, had been pushed out, when the dispersion was being dispersed, before they were the dispersion. I think you started talking about that, you said earlier, yeah, Kyle, on your Tuesday night program this week. Isn't this next week going to be a part two?
Yeah, it'll be kind of continuing, you know, getting there. But yeah, talk a little bit about Judah, the tribe of Judah, and, you know, being a true Judahite, you know, compared to somebody who calls themselves a Jew, that they're only a Jew because of the place they moved into or because of a religion they accepted.
Right.
You know, and that's where most of the Christian church world loses it, because they don't know the difference. When the word Jew's used, they don't know what the context is. You know, I mean, and it could be.
And they don't know what an Israelite is. And
absolutely.
You can't really, you know, you got Khazars too. So you can't talk about one tribe of Jew and not, I mean, there's Ashkenazis and there's Khazars.
Yes.
And, you know, they go hand in hand.
Good point. And if you don't understand that term, if you're kind of lost and say, well, when I read the Bible, it says we're supposed to bless those people and this and that. Well, order that message does a lot better than in that 55 minutes than I could do in 5 days here trying to explain it out. But it's called the most confusing word in Scripture, Jew.
Yeah. And, you know, in Joshua, after they crossed the Jordan, they reinstituted circumcision. They destroyed the other people of the land to get their land of milk and honey that the caller brought up. And it says in Joshua that God fulfilled all the promises that he had given Israel, the children of Abraham, and it was talking about all, A-L-L, the promises that he had promised them. And now you have all these false prophets out there, all these Judeo-Christian ministers of the devil is what they are, you know, saying that, no, he didn't do that. You know, that happened in 1948, you know. Then, you know, he reinstituted that state over there. You know, and it's all built on a lie.
It is.
You know, there's a new Jerusalem, and it's not the old Jerusalem. You right. know, and of course, you know, those same false prophets, those same ministers of the devil, they talk about, you know, the Jerusalem that's up in the clouds. You know, as the new Jerusalem. Well, it's pretty evident, you know, that it's more than just up in the clouds. But anyway, there's a lot to the story, a lot to learn.
There is.
Well, I want to thank those that called in today. I don't know if that's because of Volume 7 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter, but if it is, thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have, especially people like Willis and Kevin that have been on the ministry for a while. I think it's good for some of the new people that have come along and new listeners to realize that there are untold numbers of his remnant that are out there. We know there's at least 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. I kind of look at that as at least 7,000 families. And if and then there's anywhere from 2 to 10 or 12 per family, you do the math. And that's just a minimum. And there's those out there that might bow their knee to Baal right now, but they're getting up. And instead of bowing their knee to Baal, they're changing knees. And they're bowing their knee to Jesus Christ and letting him be master of their life instead of Baal. And you go through that biblical plan of salvation. Belief, yes, but repentance and baptism. And then that old man that used to worship Baal dies. And then that new creation that comes up out of that water, he can worship Jesus Christ. And so we know there are those untold numbers out there. Remnant, know that we pray for you. We know you pray for us, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the support that allow these broadcasts to go out, that allow the programs, Kyle's Saddle Up on Tuesday night, Jason's program last night, Gideon's Armory, and the program I do on Thursday night, and this coffee, and the Sunday church broadcast to go, be broadcast, and also to be archived, available there at the website, scriptures4america.org and sfawbn.com. For you to go.
Yeah, once you run through the live programs and the times.
Well, all during the week, they're 7 p.m. Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and Sunday church morning is 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. So we invite you tomorrow morning to come right here to the website, scriptures4america.org, and join us for church. This coffee will be replayed Monday night. We have a different frequency on Monday night than it is this morning, and so it'll be replayed Monday at 7. Tune in Tuesday at 6, and these are all mountain times. Tuesday at 6 for solutions, and definitely stay tuned Tuesday at 7 for Kyle's Saddle Up, especially if it's a part 2 on Gentiles. I want to listen to that one. Wednesday night, we invite you at the same time to tune in at 6 p.m. for God's Home Healthcare, and then Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 p.m. I'll be on the radio with 7 times 70 on Thursday at 7. Tune in right here. Join Jason at 7 on Friday night for Gideon's Armory. Then it brings you right back to Saturday morning coffee. Well, I think we've got time for one caller. Caller, we've got about a minute. What can we do for you?
Hey, guys. It's Derek here in Missouri. How's it going this morning?
Good morning, Derek.
Morning, Derek.
Hey, John, did you get my email yesterday about how Obama and Michelle, how they got put together and everything? And it looks like we have our first sexual pervert, homosexual in the office.
No, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I got an article yesterday about that. I didn't know if you guys saw that or put any weight to that or whatever, but it was pretty interesting deal on how, I guess Jesse Jackson, you know, Michelle grew up pretty much in Jesse Jackson's household, and they put President Obama and her together, and it was all a fixed deal. And
really?
One of the reasons they want to do that is because everybody knew that he was a queer, I guess, and that, you know, of course, it hides that fact a lot better. I didn't know if you guys had heard anything about that or not.
No.
I've heard that off and on.
Yeah. So you'll have to read that email, John, to see. I don't know if there's any weight to that or not, but I don't know.
Yeah,
if you can't read the truth of it, I've always wondered about that because they've never seemed to be the tightest couple out there in the world. I mean, as I watched that debate the other night and how he congratulated his wife for their anniversary, it just sort of seemed a little bit cold and a little strange to me, you know.
Interesting, yeah. We'll look into it. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you guys have a good day, okay?
Thanks.
You do the same.
Bye.
Well, guys, we'll have to go out on that call. We're about out of time. We, again, thank all of you for joining us, and we do invite you to church tomorrow. You know, real men don't go to church, but real men can come to the LaPorte Church of Christ right here, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. You can listen in on shortwave, on the website. You can watch us. We invite you there. Thanks a lot, men. Have a great weekend.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, get them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them more,
snake hide. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving.
keep on moving over snake pie. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.